We are back for the Logic Sports Podcast, week two from St. John's. Joining me today, just like last week, Cam Johnson and J.R. Harn. How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Nick. Excited to be back for another week.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty good. We just watched the Patriots beat down the Colts.
Good times, good times.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that game. The Colts made it a game, shockingly. It looked like from the beginning the Patriots were going to handle them. Colts fought their way back. They made it a one-score game. And Andrew Luck threw a pick.
You know, I didn't like Luck today. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I don't think he's close to elite. I think he's an average quarterback.
T.Y. Hilton wasn't playing tonight, so that definitely hurt him. And we're not sure if Andrew Luck is 100% yet. He's still coming back from that injury that sidelined him all of last year. But yeah, the Patriots handled him. Josh Gordon with his first touchdown catch of the as a Patriot. How do you feel?
That was disgusting.
Over two guys. Josh Gordon, is he here?
I love to see Josh Gordon doing good, man. I always loved watching him on the Browns. Patriots getting him broke my heart a little bit, but I love seeing that man. He's so good. At his prime, he was a top five receiver in the NFL. If he can get back to that, stay healthy, stay off of whatever he was doing before, mm-hmm. and just focus on football, he can get back to that top five receiver mark.
Yeah, I find it nice that the Patriots got him at the beginning of the season, so him and Tom can form that chemistry throughout the year, and he can have a potential a big year for the Pats and into the playoffs. He can be a real weapon.
Yeah, he's only got four catches so far for the Patriots through two games. I mean, they obviously have to implement him a little bit more in the offense, still learning it, but you wait a couple weeks, you got Julian Edelman healthy, and then once you get Gordon understanding the playbook and playing the majority of the snaps, that takes a lot of pressure off of Gronk.
Also, with Edelman coming back, that's just another guy to throw the ball to, and you know that Tom and Julian Edelman have great chemistry with each other, so that just adding him back, having him back, catching a few balls, it's good to see him back on the field.
So, to conclude that, the Tom Brady era is now over.
The Patriots look good.
As everyone thought, the Patriots are back into form. They do this every
year.
They're
above 500 again. 3-2, let's go.
Yeah, they'll be in the AFC Championship game. They'll be fighting for the Super Bowl, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
All that good stuff. All
right, moving on to the Sunday football games. We're going to start off with the Jaguars at the Chiefs.
Ooh, this one's going to be a good one.
It's probably going to be a shootout because the Jaguars love playing the type of football that their opponents play. The Jaguars never make you play their football. It's always, like, when they play the Titans, they play down to the Titans, 9-6 game. When they play the Patriots, they play up to the Patriots, put up points. And I don't understand the Jaguars.
The Jaguars, like, they have a very attacking, like, they have an aggressive defense. Like, they just, like, they're trying to make plays.
Yeah, the Jaguars stay in some of these games because they have such a great defense with Jalen Ramsey, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see the legend of Mr. Mahomes, Pat Mahomes, against this great Jaguars defense.
This is going to be an even tougher test than Denver. And Denver tested him last week. So I feel like we're going to see Mahomes throw his first pick of the season this week.
First pick? Is he going to throw it to Jalen Ramsey?
It's going
to
be...
Boye.
I'm gonna say Boye.
All right,
throw a little.
Have we got any comments out of Jalen Ramsey yet about Mahomes? Sure, they're coming if they haven't yet.
He called Tyreek Hill a kick returner. Yeah. He said he wasn't a good wide receiver.
That's something else. That man is cocky. He is,
but he backs it up.
He backs it up, but he just talks, man. Like, I think the Jaguars are a good team. I think they have a very good defense and average offense. But I don't think they're going to be back to the point that they were last year. I don't see them making the AFC Championship game again. Just because of what I said earlier, they always play to the opponent. They play mm-hmm. their football. They never make you play your own football. It's
They're like, they react to you. Like, Blake Bortles is literally there to, like, not screw up.
Yeah, the Jaguars' success is going to be reliant on how their defense performs. If their defense is playing well and clicking, Blake Bortles will naturally feed off of that and play well. But if their defense starts getting hurt, they start losing some of these games, then I don't think the Jaguars have the offensive ability to keep up with some of these teams.
Yeah. Now to the game itself, what do you guys think the score is going to be? I think for sure it's going to be a high-scoring game just because the Chiefs are prone to put up buckets and it's – early in the season, and the Chiefs, we all know, are nice for 8 weeks and then collapse, so...
It's true.
They're going to put up points.
I feel like this is going to be a shootout. It'll be the the Steelers-Jags game in the divisional round last year, that kind of shootout. Yeah. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game 42-35. That's going to be the final. There's going to be lots of points in this game.
Another thing I'm concerned about is the Chiefs' defense. They looked like butter last week against the Broncos. They looked horrible. They do have a good matchup against the Jags, so I'll give a weird score, 27-16, Chiefs.
Chiefs win.
I'm going to go opposite of you guys. I'm going to go with the Jaguars, because even though I said I don't see them making the AFC Championship game again, I think they're on a roll right now. They're playing good football, even after that Titans loss. I think they're going to play up to the level. They're going to play the Chiefs hard, and they're going to come away with the win 35-31. All right. Now to the next game, we're going to Cleveland with Baker.
Bakerland. Right.
So the Ravens at the Browns this Sunday. What are you guys' thoughts?
I like the Browns in this game. If given Baker Mayfield a couple more weeks to learn the system, learn what it's like to be an NFL quarterback, the Ravens, they're always hit or miss every single week. You don't know which Joe Flacco is going to come out onto the field. This is a good opportunity for the Browns to get a win at home, play the Ravens, have Baker get comfortable within the Browns system. I like the Browns in this game.
Big divisional game.
It is a big divisional game.
See, I have the Ravens here. The Ravens are getting Jimmy Smith back from suspension. That defense is only going to get better. I don't think Baker's ready to handle the Ravens' defense. That being said, though, fantasy alert for all you fantasy fans. Antonio Callaway, 18 targets in the past two games. Pick him up.
Baker does like Callaway. He liked him a lot in the preseason. He's been thrown to him a decent amount this year. I think Baker is ready for this. I think Baker's going to come out, put up points. I don't know how they lost the game last week. Against the Raiders.
They shouldn't have lost.
They were handling the Raiders, but I think Baker's going to come out. He's going to start slinging the ball. This is one of those games where I wish he still had Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. I wish we could have seen Baker Mayfield and Josh Gordon playing together, because I really think that would have revived Josh Gordon's career. I don't think Tyrod threw to him maybe like twice in one or two games, and he got a touchdown out of it, but that was just a ball he threw up. Baker's got real accuracy. He's got real arm power.
He's a real quarterback.
He is.
He's a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. It was only a matter of time before Baker took over the starting job from Tyrod Taylor.
Baker is the savior of the Browns. On quarterback, 22 or something after the last 18 years? Baker is the savior. Baker is taking this Browns team. They're going to go 6-10, 7-9 this year, which, right now they're 1-2-1. I'm sorry, then they can't go that. But they're gonna get 6 or 7 wins. They're going to make a run at a wild card. I don't think they're going to win it. Even though the AFC is very weak, Baker's going to take this team. They're gonna give some teams some games.
Well, let me fact check that. They're 1-2-1.
They are 1-2-1.
They are 1-2-1. That's what I said, Jay. Thank you. Yeah, the Browns are going to be a problem to a team to be reckoned with over the next couple of years. The Steelers slowly falling apart in that division. The Ravens are a team that consistently gets 8, 9, 10 wins, but they're never really a true threat.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Browns are a real deal team. So what do you guys have picks for this? Scores, picks?
I say the Browns win this game. It's going to be relatively low scoring. I feel like most of the games that the Ravens play in, especially now, the grind of the season, week 5, you're going to get into that time frame where you have to play a Sunday game, a Thursday game, Sunday. And there's a lot of wear and tear on these players. And I say the Browns win this game 21-17. Baker leads a game-winning drive at the end of the game.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Put the Browns ahead. Joe Flacco, Hail Mary at the end of the game, broken up, Browns win.
That would put the Browns, a half game back or something of the Ravens, even if they did that. I know it's early in the year, but the Ravens are 3-1 right now, leading the division. The Browns are, they're ahead of the Steelers, they're tied with the Steelers right now.
Mm-hmm. And don't sleep on the Bengals, though.
Tyler Eifert was like a big loss.
I'm not a big fan of the Bengals. I'm not a big fan of Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton was always that team. I mean, he brought them to the playoffs a couple years, like, what, 3-4 years ago? He brought them to the playoffs, like, 3 years in a row for wild cards. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Andy Dalton and the Bengals. I don't see them being a real threat to that division.
I kind of feel like he's the modern-day Jay Cutler.
I see that. So what's your pick for the game, Jay?
All right, I'd say I got Ravens over the Browns, 17-14.
Low scoring.
Justin Tucker carries the Ravens.
Justin Tucker.
Great kicker, Justin Tucker.
I'm going to go with the Browns winning this game. I think Baker Mayfield's going to make it high scoring like he's been doing the past couple weeks. He's been putting up points. I think the Browns win this game 31-21. I think it's pretty high scoring.
Baker's putting up those points.
Baker. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's got a lot of arm strength. He's got some talent, man. The only reason teams didn't like him was because of his little antics he had in college.
Yeah. We'll see. Time will tell.
Moving on to the Falcons at the Steelers. This is a big game.
I got Steelers. You got Steelers. Steelers going to bounce back.
Falcons have a lot of injuries.
These are two teams that are both on the ropes. Like, their seasons could be on the line in this game.
This is a very big game. I'd say, especially for the Falcons, considering the division they're in, they have to battle the Saints, Panthers,
and the Bucks, who have been red hot.
The Steelers, not to throw any shade at the Browns, but the Browns aren't. They haven't proven themselves yet. Baker's a great addition, obviously, and their future looks bright. But the Steelers, can afford to lose this game if they were to lose it. It would be a bad loss. Like, this is a very big game. But the Steelers can afford to lose. If the Falcons lose this game, they can almost kiss their playoff chances goodbye, considering how good that NFC South is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the AFC North is a wide-open division. That is...
Anyone can win that division, honestly.
It feels like the... It's going to come down to the last couple of games, like almost how the NFC South was last year. Mm-hmm. I know they had two wildcard teams, but they had three teams that had over 10 wins in that division. I mean, that was coming down to the ropes. Yeah, I think with the Falcons-Steelers game, I think it's going to be high scoring. I think Matt Ryan, Julio Jones connection, Matt Ryan and Sanu, and then Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley.
Ridley, the next Julio.
All three of those receivers are lethal. And then you got people focusing Julio that hard right now. Do you have Calvin Ridley has 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games? Or what was he? He's 6 on the year right now. He was supposed to be a good receiver in the NFL, but he's panning out. And it definitely helps having Julio and Sanu on the team.
Yeah, playing next to Julio changes everything.
They put so much focus on Julio. Calvin's been open a lot. He scored a lot of touchdowns this year. He's been very open. He's the next Julio to me. I loved that pickup when the Falcons drafted him that night. On draft night, I said Julio and Calvin Ridley are going to be a problem for most defenses to match up against. Because Calvin Ridley was a beast at Alabama.
Mm-hmm,
he was very good.
Stunning, man. And then with the Steelers, I think Roethlisberger is definitely going to put up some points this week. I know they got the... I don't know if you would call it good news or bad news with Le'Veon saying he's coming back. I don't know what that's going to do to the locker room. I don't know how they're going to accept him. I don't think anyone's like spoken out about it. I know Antonio Brown and a lot of the skill position players are like, they're okay with it, and they I guess understand what they're doing. But Le'Veon's going to come back, and I think the linemen are just going to let him get smacked the first play. I don't know what that team is going to do, because they are in a position right now where, like I said earlier, that division's open. But at the same time, the Steelers can just fall apart. I mean, Roethlisberger has those years where he just throws a ton of picks. He has those games where he just does that.
The Steelers kind of do this every year. They're kind of like the Patriots, but not to the level, extent the Patriots are at. The Steelers don't do well at the beginning of the year, and then they don't do anything to fix their problems. And not having Le'Veon Bell definitely hurts. I wouldn't count the Steelers out, though.
Yeah, the Steelers, I feel like they just got to, mesh. Like, there's so much conflict in that locker room. Like, everyone's so hostile towards each other. They just got to get a couple wins together, and I feel like they'll be in the playoffs.
They should catch fire. So what are your guys' picks for the game?
I say Steelers win this game. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Big Ben and Matt Ryan are both going to put up over 400 yards. I say Steelers win
I say the Steelers also win this game. I agree. It's also going to be, I think it's going to be a shootout. Lots of points being put up in this game. Both quarterbacks having themselves a day. I say that the Steelers win this game 42-38. It's going to be very high scoring. Lots of points.
I'm going to go with the Falcons for this game. The Falcons need this game more than anything right now. This is literally season on the line right now. I mean, they're in a very tough division. They're in a very tough NFC that's going to... There's going to be a lot of teams fighting for those wild card spots. I think the Falcons will come out on fire. I think the Steelers are going to come out a little bit flat. It's going to be one of those games for Big Ben. Throw a couple of picks. I think the Falcons win this game. Go 24-17. Not too high scoring, but I think Matt Ryan's going to get it done at the end of the day. Well, very recently we had the MLB playoffs start.
Mm-hmm.
We had the wild card games, which the Yankees won, and the Rockies won, which was a shock that the Cubs are already out of the playoffs. The Cubs all of a sudden play in that the game 163 for the division. They lose that, and then nobody's in panic mode yet, but then they go and play the Rockies, and it seemed like a lot of people almost had the Rockies just written off. It seemed like it was like Cubs are winning the NL handily, and then it just two games happened and the Cubs season is over.
They just didn't show up to the playoffs. Like, two runs in two games. Yeah. That's not happening. It's not winning baseball.
Yeah, if you score two runs in two games, especially at home, they were at home for both of those games and
mm-hmm.
they lost them both, scoring one run in each game. Honestly, the Cubs had that huge meltdown at the end of the year when they let the Brewers come all the way back and tie and force that game 163. And the Brewers just wanted it more than the Cubs. And then the Rockies obviously wanted it more. The Cubs just didn't have that big bat outside of Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe Rizzo, but...
Javi tied the game for them late. Rizzo had a big home run in the 163. But they just...
I think they were distracted with the whole Addison Russell thing.
That
he got suspended the day after.
I don't think that was really that big of a deal to them in general. Maybe for Addison Russell, but I don't think that affected the team that much. I just think they had the pitching to win both games. I mean, the wind, definitely, that last, in the game 163, when Rizzo hit that ball, that looked like it was, like, 400 feet gone, and the wind just knocked it down.
He should have been put in that position. The Cubs should be scoring more than one run if they want to contend for a World Series.
The Cubs... Wait,
they clearly weren't ready to contend this year if they're,
mm-hmm.
they're already out.
I didn't understand that. I mean, they had two hard-hit balls all of the game 163, and then wild card game just came up flat. They had... Javi came up big in the eighth inning, and that was really it. I mean, John Lester pitched a great game, put him in the chance
he
to win
did.
And get it.
Like, one run... That's what you want from your pitcher.
Great. All right, and then so, like we said, the Rockies won that game. The Rockies also played game one very recently of the NLDS. Thoughts on that game?
They fought back. They could have very easily mailed in game one. The Brewers are very hot. It was 2-0, and then they forced extra innings.
Very late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They forced it, but... The Rockies may be a problem in this series. If the Rockies can steal game two somehow, then that series is wide open. The Rockies seem like they want to play. They want to win.
The Rockies definitely have an advantage at home when it comes to if it does get cold. That would be a huge advantage for the Rockies with the Brewers playing in that dome.
I don't know, because the Brewers kind of like, they live in Milwaukee. Like, it's not that much of an advantage.
They play in a dome, though.
They do play in a dome, but like, they live in Milwaukee. It's not like... as big of an advantage as it would be for, like, another team.
Napping.
Also, factoring in the thin air in Colorado.
True.
They have the altitude to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't know if that affects you as much in baseball, but it's not... They're not normal living conditions. You're not used to breathing thin air and being winded
yeah.
frequently. I don't know. If the Rockies can steal game two from the Brewers, then this series is wide open. I just think that the Rockies ran into a buzzsaw. The Brewers have been so hot recently... winning the NL Central, beating the Cubs at Wrigley, and now taking game one.
Christian Yelich
is an
absolute
off.
Beast. He had the RBIs, or the two RBIs early in the game.
He hit the home run.
He's
NL MVP.
He's the winning MVP with that.
It really saddens me how many players the Marlins traded away.
Yeah, the Marlins could have Christian Yelich right now, but Derek Jeter didn't want him, I guess.
Derek Jeter wanted Giancarlo to go to the Yankees. That seems fair. All right, so what do you guys think? What are you guys' thoughts on the series? Who do you think is going to win?
I think it's going to go... I got Brewers here.
You got Brewers?
Yeah. The Rockies show some fight, but I got Brewers.
How many games?
Five
games. You think it'll go?
Yeah.
Distance there?
I got the Brewers in four. I think the Brewers will take care of business at home, win the first two. The Rockies will win game three back at home. And then the Brewers won't want to go back to home to win game five, force elimination, win or go home. So I think they'll beat them in four in Colorado. They'll win that game.
I think the Brewers are going to win the series in five. I think it's going to go back and forth, flip-flop. It's going to be exactly like the game we had today, where it's low scoring almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a close series because both teams have very good offenses. They're not really known for their defense and their pitching. But when it comes down to October baseball, playoff baseball, pitching wins you the series every time.
It does. And you need to have good pitchers, good relief pitchers. You also need to hit the ball. The objective is to hit the ball, score runs in the game. But if you have a great pitching staff that can back you up and keep the game close, then you should be able to give your pitching staff a decent amount of runs to work with throughout the game.
All right. On to the Dodgers-Braves series. I think this series is going to be a sweep. I don't see the Braves giving a fighting effort at all. I think the Dodgers have a way better offense. I think the Braves are in a very easy division. They took it like they should have. I mean, they were the best team in that division, and they played well enough to win. But if you put them in any other division where they're not playing the Mets, Marlins, Phillies, all those teams, like,
20 times. Even the Nationals
didn't play well. You're playing all those teams, like, 12, 15, 16 games a year. You put them in another division, I don't see the Braves doing anything in the playoffs.
I think the Braves are the worst team in the playoffs.
Oh, I
easily
agree.
Yeah.
As of right now, yeah, I don't see the Braves going anywhere. The Dodgers had the experience of going to the World Series last year, and the Braves just don't have that. They're a young team. As Nick said, they were in a poor division. I see the Dodgers winning this series. If it's not a sweep, they'll win in four. We just had a game go final. Game one of the NLDS, Rockies
mm-hmm.
and Dodgers.
Dodgers handled that game.
6-0.
Wasn't close.
Yeah, I don't see the Braves giving the Dodgers much of a challenge.
Yeah, I got a sweep here.
Yeah,
Dodgers fans, get out your brooms.
I agree. I do agree. I think it's gonna be a Dodgers Brewers NLCS, and I think the Dodgers are gonna take that. Cause sadly, I picked the Cubs last week, like the rest of the world, but. You know, except for Cam, who picked the Brewers.
Brewers.
You know,
Brew crew.
The Cubs just falling apart. Good job, Cubs. Good job, Joe Madden. All right, on to the ALDS starting tonight between the Red Sox and the Yankees, and then the other series, the Astros-Indians. So we'll start with the Red Sox-Yankees. Classic rivalry. Everyone knows about it. Everyone hears about it. It's going to be...
heated, to say the least.
It is going to be a series that goes the distance. The Red Sox, or the Yankees play the Red Sox better than anyone else just because they see them so many times in a year. What are you guys' thoughts on the series?
The rivalry's back. The last time the Red Sox played the Yankees in the playoffs was 2004.
Greatest series.
And we all remember what happened there.
Greatest series.
Red Sox come back from 3-0 down to beat the Yankees in Game 7 at Yankee Stadium. I'm honestly very excited. Seeing the Red Sox and the Yankees play in the playoffs, it's arguably the best rivalry in all of sports. It's definitely up there with the great rivalries. This series to me is going to go the distance. The Yankees are a good team. They have bats all in their lineup. 1-9 can hit. They have good starting pitching with Severino and Tanaka.
Hap.
Yeah, Jay Hap.
Mm-hmm.
Midseason acquisition. I just think the Red Sox have too much firepower.
Yeah.
I just think the Red Sox really caught fire this year, and they're just going to ride that. They were arguably one of the best teams in MLB history.
Oh, yeah.
Adding J.D. Martinez, I wasn't high on J.D. Martinez when they first got him because he was 30 years old. I thought he would be on his decline. But J.D. Martinez has been great for the Red Sox this year. And Mookie Betts having a great year as well. MVP, him and JD have been going back and forth all year for AL MVP. I don't know. I just feel like this is the Red Sox series to lose. At this point, for the Red Sox, it's World Series or bust.
I mean, it's got to be. Number one seed.
I think the winner of this series is going to be the first team who wins the first game, punches the other team in the mouth. You know, the team that gets that 1-0 up there first.
I think the Yankees are going to ride that wild card win. I mean, they destroyed an A's team that was absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, if that A's team got through the Yankees, they were going to be a problem. They were going to give the Red Sox a hard series just because of how much momentum they were riding. I mean, the second half of the year, they had the best record in baseball, and it was by far. I mean, it was by, like, 6-7 games. They just... The Athletics were going to be a tough team to beat in the playoffs. The Yankees got to them, and now the Yankees are going to give the Red Sox a series.
Yeah, I agree.
I
think the Yankees, this Yankees team, is probably one of the best wild card teams of all time.
They are. People forget that the Yankees won 100 games this year. They're a good team. In any other division, they could have easily won. But the Red Sox just had such a great year. They just won all the time. I don't know. This is going to be a good series. I'm looking forward to it. I think it has the potential to go the distance and go down as one of the best series that we've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. You got picks? I obviously know what... we all know what Cam's going with.
I think the series is going to go the distance. I say whichever team wins the first game will have the obvious upper hand.
Yeah.
If the Yankees come into Fenway and win game one, then it may be time to get nervous. But if the Red Sox win tomorrow, I can see them winning the series. I say the Red Sox are going to win this game or this series in 5 games. Yankees aren't just going to roll over. I think it's going to be a good series.
I say Yankees in 5.
It's definitely... It can happen. I mean, the Yankees can ride momentum. They can get... I don't know. Have they announced who they're starting tonight?
They're starting
going to be J.A. Happ. I mean... J.A. Happ, if he can get to the Red Sox, he got a lefty going for him. I know the Red Sox have a lot of righties in their lineup, but they can get it. The Yankees can definitely win this game. I want to say the Yankees are going to win the series, but it's going to be the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox win this in not 5, but 4. I think the Red Sox are going to win game 1. The Yankees will bounce back, win the next, and the Red Sox win the next 2. I think it's going to go 4.
Well, regardless of what happens, it's going to be an amazing series.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great series.
Waiting for some momentum to start flaring, you know? See what happens with that. And now the next series, the Astros versus the Indians. A lot of people are just writing the Indians off. For a good reason. It's not the Indians' fault that they're getting written off. It's more the Astros.
Yeah, they're running into a team that's just that good.
The Astros are, like... They can build a dynasty.
They're the defending champs. They know what it takes to win these games in the playoffs. The Astros, in my opinion, are the only team that can beat the Red Sox in the playoffs. If you were to go to the ALCS, Red Sox Astros, that would be another great series. The Red Sox have a better chance than they did last year, but the Astros are a great team. They have great starting pitching. They have a great lineup. 1-9 can hit. They have former MVP Jose Altuve. Carlos Correa is a great shortstop. Alex Bregman. You just go 1-9 down that lineup, and everyone can hit the ball.
Alex Bregman is an MVP candidate this year. He's been going
off.
Yes,
Alex Bregman's had a great year. And you also, and on the hill, you have Verlander. You just have great pitchers. You have Dallas Keuchel.
Colin McHugh.
You just have great guys down that order who can all pitch and all have the experience in the postseason.
See, Keuchel's been struggling this year, too. He dropped down to their 4-5 pitcher. I don't even know if they're going to... I mean, they're probably going to end up using him just because of his playoff experience, but he has been questionably their worst starting pitcher this year. And with that being said, he was their... You could argue he was their ace last year with Verlander coming, but, I mean, he was very good last year, and that team... This year, he struggled, and the Astros still have 102 wins.
I mean, they basically have almost 3 aces on their team, like Gerrit Cole, Verlander. I like the Indians team, though. Like, Jose Ramirez isn't a slouch. Like, they have talent on that team. It's just that...
Added Josh Donaldson.
Yeah. The Astros are just too talented. But it's not like the Indians are a bad team. No. Like, they can make some noise, win a game or two.
They're running into a dynasty waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I truly think that. I think the Astros are going to win the World Series this year, and with this series, I think that they're going to sweep the Indians.
Oof. I think it's going to go four. I think the Indians will get one game in there, but the Astros are just a superior team. The Indians aren't a bad team by any stretch, but the Astros are just a better team, and they'll beat them. I say Astros in four.
Astros in five.
Astros in five. You think the Indians are going to give them a series?
Yeah, they're going to give them a game. Probably game two. I'm thinking game two. We're going to like...
A game? Oh.
Yeah.
In a five-game series?
Yeah, they're going to get game two. People are going to get excited, and then the Astros are just going to roll through.
It'll go four. I agree. All right, and so with those, we all... everyone but Jay, me and Cam have... Red Sox, Astros, ALCS, and Jay's got the Yankees going.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to the NBA. Kyrie had something to say, which we've all heard this before. Oh, I'm not going to leave. Kyrie said it to a little kid's face. He lied to him in Cleveland. But today he tells the entire Celtics fans, like the entire arena, that he is staying unless they don't want him or something like that.
He's just changing the scale of his lie.
Kyrie's a very interesting man. Given that we've had him for a year, he's a very interesting person. He kind of does his own thing, says what he wants, doesn't care what other people think. But Kyrie saying to the Boston fans tonight that he plans to re-sign in the offseason was just what Celtics fans wanted to hear. Commitment from your point guard long term. Kyrie's a great point guard, and I'm sure the Celtics are more than happy to re-sign him.
My question is, what is he supposed to say?
That's what he's supposed to say. You can't say that you don't want to be on a team. Like, that gets you traded. Like, Eric Bledsoe, he was like, I don't want to be here, gets traded.
Right. But all summer, Kyrie was non-committal. But now, once we get into, I just don't know what has changed. What makes him say that he wants to re-sign in the offseason now?
I think, well, it's going to be Kyrie or Gordon Hayward leaving.
Gordon Hayward's on a big deal, though.
I think it's going to be Kyrie leaving, honestly. I don't think the Celtics are going to keep both guys, because they're going to target Anthony Davis. They're going to target other guys. And the Celtics are going to have a very good team for a very long time, which kills me to say. But they're going to be the favorite in the East for the next 4 to 5 years. They're going to win a championship or two, and a lot of that does ride on Kyrie, whether he's being truthful or not. Personally, I think Kyrie is going to leave. I don't see him staying in the Celtics long term, but I mean, with him leaving, I think they are going to go after a guy like Anthony Davis. They get him, and there's going to be a stacked team.
I think the Celtics, if one guy were to leave from their big acquisitions recently, I'd say it'd be Gordon Hayward. The Celtics could try to package him to send to the Pelicans, especially with the Celtics having a top five pick next year with the Sacramento Kings pick. The Kings aren't going to be a good team this year, so the Celtics are going to be right back in the lottery next year with a potential top five pick. And next year's draft class is wing heavy. You have RJ Barrett, Zion Williams. So
you would do that Zion Kings Williams pick. You would do that Kings pick and Gordon Hayward for Anthony Davis?
Not necessarily. You could trade Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, and you can add future picks. But if the Celtics were to keep the pick next year, they could draft a guy like RJ Barrett, and I feel like the odd man out would be Gordon Hayward. Because the Celtics ran last year, they were very fast up and down the floor, and Gordon Hayward's more of like a half-court offense kind of guy.
He likes taking, walking it up, taking ISO plays, doing that.
Yeah, like running offense. I agree.
That's just not what the Celtics did last year. Like, they were fast. Like, Jaylen Brown and Tatum on the wings, they ran all the time.
You have a young team.
But maybe, I think it's more of, like, because Hayward's only played in Utah his entire life. Like, they were used to just, like, getting in the half court, like, settling down for, like, 5 to 10 seconds, then getting into their play, getting their offense. Like, the Celtics are a little more fast-paced. But that's, like, that's Kyrie's, like, tempo.
That's what he does. Kyrie's an athletic guard. He's quick. He has handles. He can shoot. I just feel Gordon Hayward may be the odd man out in Boston. He just doesn't, from what I've seen so far, he doesn't fit their playing style. I know it's just preseason, you can't really put much weight on it. But Gordon Hayward may be the odd man out. in Boston, especially if they keep that pick next year and draft like a Zion or an RJ Barrett.
And Tatum can like seamlessly like replace him, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think you guys are gonna like Horford's on a player option, I think. So you're gonna have a lot of cap room, so you might just not do anything. Like you can re-sign Kyrie and just keep the same core. I think that's an option too.
With that said, do you think the Celtics can make a run at the Warriors this year?
Yes.
I want to say they can. They're the only team in the NBA that can beat the Warriors.
You're crazy.
In a series.
You're crazy.
I don't think the Rockets can do it.
The
Rockets have James Harden and Chris Paul and Clint Capella and whatever is left of Carmelo Anthony. They made a run at them last year, obviously falling short. But that was with a half, Steph Curry. And they're just adding DeMarcus Cousins this year, which is just going to be a problem for the whole NBA. So I don't think the Rockets can keep up with them. I feel like the Celtics have the depth and the young players to run with the Warriors.
I think the Rockets can keep up with the Warriors, but I agree with you. The Celtics actually, I feel like, have a chance with their depth and their, like, talent. They match them almost blow for blow. The Warriors still have a big advantage over every team in the league, but the Celtics are probably, I'd say, the team with the least, like, the least distance between the Warriors.
Yeah, the Celtics are the second team to the Warriors, in my opinion. The next team to win a championship besides the Warriors will be the Celtics, I think, because they're just right there. If the Warriors weren't a team, I'd say the Celtics would win the finals this year.
Although, I would say the Rockets have the biggest potential for getting hot.
Who knows what Carmelo's going to look like this year? Who knows?
Like, if the Rockets catch fire, they're a team that, when they're on fire, is better than the Warriors.
If James Harden has anything close to what he put up last year, and you're just adding Carmelo to that, bringing back a healthy Chris Paul, everyone has another year under their belts. I don't know. The Rockets could be good. They could challenge the Warriors in the West. It's possible. But besides the Celtics and the Rockets, I don't see any team that's really close to the Warriors.
I truly think the Warriors, right now, as all the rosters stand, the Warriors will lose 3 games maximum in the playoffs. I think they'll lose like 2 to the Rockets and then 1 to the Celtics in the finals, and they're going to like joyride into the finals. They are going to roll over teams. And I say like with the rosters now because Jimmy Butler is being shopped actively. And what if he goes to the Rockets? What does that do?
What do the Rockets give up to get Jimmy Butler?
I don't know. Picks?
Melo's the only
Eric
guy.
Gordon?
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon, a couple picks.
Eric Gordon, they could give up Marquise Chris and a bunch of picks.
That's what it's going to be. I think Jimmy Butler, if he goes to the Rockets and the Rockets don't, you know, unload their entire bench and role players, they're going to make a run. They're going to go to 7 again, and this time the Rockets might win. I mean, Jimmy Butler he wasn't as great as he was last year, but when he came in the playoffs last year with the T-Wolves, he was their only guy. Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't doing anything.
He has a high motor, too. Wow. It seems like the other players around Jimmy Butler in Minnesota don't have the drive to win like he does.
You know what?
It seems like Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns are passive.
I'll say this, though, that Chris Paul has like the same type of mentality as Jimmy Butler, and I feel like they'd work really well together. They
both want a ring.
Mm-hmm. And the Rockets have a need for like a good defensive forward. Like, if he could just fill that P.J. Tucker role, but just do it 100 times better.
And which, actually be an offensive threat.
Yeah, like, that team could actually be filthy.
They literally would just upgrade from what they had with Ariza last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and Tucker, I guess, but you put Melo there. Melo, literally, all he would have to do is sit in the corner and shoot threes. And if he can shoot, he shot 25% last year. Mm-hmm. If he can shoot 35%, the Rockets are going to take the Warriors to 7, and they are, I think they can beat the Warriors if they get,
yeah, easily,
Jimmy Butler, and I think they're going to give the Warriors a game.
Well, it'll easily be a series, I'll say that.
it's the Warriors are obviously the greatest team we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And the only way to be the greatest team we've ever seen is to make a team that's better. I mean, the Warriors aren't going
to fall apart.
The Warriors aren't going to get cold, and that's just a fact. They have too many shooters, too many studs. I mean, freaking DeMarcus Cousins, like, I hate that man for that, man. Yeah. Going on $2 million? Come on, man. The Sixers would have given you more. Imagine Embiid and freaking DeMarcus Cousins down there.
Yeah, Boogie, I feel like he knows what he's doing.
He just wants a ring. He's just going to get his ring and then go to LA.
It's him and LeBron next year. Or, you know, Jimmy Butler could get traded to the Clippers.
Ooh.
Team up with a little bit of DeMarcus Cousins.
You know what? I think the Clippers are underrated this year. Tobias Harris is so solid and everyone sleeps on him. He's such a good player.
He's a good player. Went to a Sixers game a couple years ago, and he had a buzzer beater on us.
Really?
Not a fun night. I feel like trust in the process.
Moving DeAndre Jordan was big for the Clippers and Blake Griffin. It was clear there was a disconnect there between Doc Rivers and DeAndre and Blake Griffin. And losing Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan just stopped playing last year. He had no one to throw him lobs. It was Austin Rivers. He's not as great of a point guard as Chris Paul is. So I just think it was good for the Clippers.
And they're a good defensive team. Like, the backcourt of Patrick Beverley and Avery Bradley is just... That's a ferocious backcourt.
Yeah, that's a ball-hawking, press-you-the-whole-game type of backcourt. And adding Tobias Harris, he's a solid player. He can knock down the open three. He's a big body in there. He can grab rebounds.
The Clippers also had two first-round picks this year. And,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
and then they got Jerome Robinson. I've never heard of Jerome Robinson.
Jerome Robinson's a big scorer. He put up, what was it, I think 40 and 46 this year. He put up 40 on Duke, 46 in another game.
I mean, I don't really know a lot about these rookies. I know Gilgeous-Alexander was a third or fourth option on Kentucky. He wasn't, like, up there.
He came in as, like, a lower-rated prospect, but he, like, ended the season as their leader. Like, Kevin Knox wasn't the leader of that team. It was Shai.
Who knows? Maybe the Clippers can make a run this year. Maybe they can do a little something. Find out. All right, that is all we have for today. Don't forget to listen to Logic Sports Podcast every Sunday, Thursday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Thank you, and have a good day.